berated him about that.
Oh, no.
Brandela.
Hi, Brandon.
Hey. Ruby.
Hi, Ruby.
Hello.
Hey, Ruby.
How are you? He's not on yet?
Not on yet.
Okay. Well, I'm going to mute my phone.
Okay.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We are.
Good morning.
Good morning, all. We are starting today with Tehillim 18. We'll be utilizing the two handouts that come from the unique astrological times link under the section of preparation for Tehillim that we've been using regularly. And we'll start with the Psalms landing page where it says Tehillim 18. I'll start with the Lashon Yichud. Lashon Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkin Te Bid Kilur Chimud Kilud Kilur Chimud. Leyakda Lashem Yud He Bavav He, the Yehuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael. Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Tanit Dibur Mitzvah, La Shom Tov Mitzvah. Vayhino Amadunai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kununei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kununeihu. Say this psalm on the third day of the monthly cycle. This is the first of the psalms that we say on day three of each month's cycle. This is relating to people who say all 150 psalms over the course of the Hebrew month. If one merits a public miracle, he should offer a song to Hashem, including in his song all the miracles that have occurred since the day the world was created, as well as the good that Hashem wrought for Israel at the giving of the Torah. And he should say, he who has performed these miracles, may he do with me likewise. The above kavanah is a traditional kavanah to use when saying this psalm. The first word is lamnatzeach, which in Hebrew is often translated as dedicated to the orchestra leader of creation, who grants eternal victory. And we've discussed lamnatzeach many times. A deeper discussion is in the introduction to the Yearning for Redemption PDF file, which we will be reading from today as well. There are 51 verses in the psalm.
Clara, look at the light going through my little candle and illuminates the blue Star David.
I'm not sure if those remarks were meant for me or not, but I'll assume they weren't. This is the gematria of the word please. 51 is the gematria of the word please. It's the word na. Nun aleph. 51 also connects to the 62nd name of the 72 names. Transferring to the Yearning for Redemption handout. Tehillim 18. Here, in 51 verses, David, representing the soul of Israel, thanks Hashem for all the good with which he has been blessed during times of peace and plenty. He also thanks Hashem for all times that he has been saved from his enemies, whether by means of seemingly natural means, when he wasn't deserving, or by revealed miracles and other supernatural means when he was deserving. This is a commentary and an explanation that comes from the Malbim, and then Rabbi Sutton now tells us to see his in-depth commentary on this particular psalm, but I don't know where that in-depth commentary is unless he has a separate PDF file regarding it. Lamnatzeach leved Adonai Yohei Wahei leDavid asher diber laAdonai Yohei Wahei et divrei hashira hazot b'yom haatzil Adonai Yohei Wahei oto mika kol oyaviv umiyad shaul. Lamnatzeach, dedicated to the master of creation, who grants eternal victory. A psalm by Hashem's servant, David, who uttered and sang the words of this song prophetically to Hashem on the day of, literally, about the times that Hashem saved him from the clutches of all his enemies, especially from Shaul. There are 20 words in this verse. The 20 is a number that represents 10 sephirot of direct light and 10 sephirot of returning light. And yet in reality, direct light and returning light create a complete circuit of energy. They represent the idea of please and thank you. They represent the idea of a complete unity, because without the returning light, the direct light, that 10 sephirot of direct light is not complete without the 10 sephirot of the returning light. Second person direct, which separates verses 1 from 2. Vayomar archamcha Adonai Yehovahe Chizki. And David said, I love you with a childlike love, Hashem, my power and my strength. The third verse. Adonai Yehovahe Sali Sudati Palti Eli Tsuri Echese Bo Magini Vekeren Yishi Niskabi. Hashem, you are my rock, my protector, and my fortress, my secret hideaway. You are my rescuer, the ground of my existence, rock in whom I place my trust and in whom I take refuge. You are my shield and the ray of my salvation, the ray of my salvation light, my high tower. There's a lot of different terms used in this pasuk. A lot of metaphors that need to be thought about and contemplated. What is the ray of my salvation light? Why doesn't he just say salvation light? Why does he need to say ray of? And what is a high tower? How is that a protection? Especially in our modern age, where airspace is just as important. And there's always a way to go above, go higher than a tower. So what is the real meaning in today's world? The fourth verse. Mechulal echra Adonai Yehovahe Umino Yevai Yivashea. O you who are intrinsically praised, I call upon you, Hashem, and I am immediately delivered from my enemies. I didn't comment upon the first verse that David only has one enemy. We each only have one enemy, and that is Satan. So why does he say his enemy is Shaul? But the sentiment expressed in verse 4 is really important to realize. There is no space between your calling on the name of Hashem in truth, as the verse in Psalms elsewhere, the verse in Proverbs says, if you call upon Hashem in truth. This pasuk is expressing you call and you are delivered. There's no space between the cause and the effect. Calling on his name is the cause. This is the idea of female waters, human activity. This is the idea of returning light. Now it says third person. So King David is expressing these sentiments in different ways, coming from the third person. In this, what we're going to say now. The previous few verses, three verses, connects with the second person. Verse 5. Afafuni hevle mavet venachle belial yevaatuni. When death's cords tighten around me and floods, armies of godless men threaten to overwhelm me. Because someone disagrees with me, does that mean he is godless? We have to realize, just because we have a disagreement, it doesn't mean that the other person is untrue. He's not speaking his truth just because he disagrees with me. He is speaking his truth. And while he may disagree with me, we both are right. The sixth verse. Hevle Sheol Sivavuni Kidmuni Mokshe Mavet. When Sheol's bonds enclose me and death traps block my way. It sounds a little ominous at the minimum. What is he referring to? The word Sheol is the lowest level of Gehinnom. When someone is sentenced to Sheol, they do not come up. The seventh verse. Ba'atzar li kra Adonai Yohe Wahe Wel Elohai Ashaveye Yishme Mehakalo Koli Vishavati Lefanav Tavo. In mortal distress I call to Hashem. I beseech and I cry out to Hashem to save me. He hears my voice from his heavenly sanctuary. My cry comes before him, entering into his ears. There are 14 words. 14 is the gematria of King David, of David's name. 14 is the gematria of the word yad, which means hands. 14 is a number of manifestation. But I will mention one. Where did I see it? Oh, you'll notice the fourth word and the fifth word in the verse is Hashem and Kel, or Hashem and El. But in the case of El, there's a connecting letter, the and of the V'El. That connecting letter serves a significant meaning. Because many times it will say Hashem Elohim, but there's no Vav to connect them. They're always connected. They're always working opposites of each other. And here we're saying Hashem, which represents mercy, and El, which represents loving kindness. They need to be connected with a Vav, with Zeran Pin, with spirituality. Many different metaphors associated with the letter Vav when it's used as the first letter in a word. The eighth pasuk. Vatigas vatiras haaretz umos de harim yirgazu vayitgashu ki hadalo. When the earth has erupted and quaked, and the very foundations of the mountains have trembled, they erupted because his wrath was aroused. Relative to Hashem, the earth is nothing. There are 10 words in this pasuk representing the 10 sephirot, representing a completion. What is an earthquake? It's a wake-up call. But is it also an announcement to a change of reference, to a change of frame of reference? This is a question that you need to answer for yourselves through your contemplation, through your inner intuition. Experiencing the shaking of the earth a wake-up call for you, or is it an announcement that you have transitioned to a higher level? The ninth pasuk. Ala shan be'apo v'esh mipiv tokel gachalim baru mimenu. The smoke of his wrath rose up in his nostrils, devouring fire like lava erupted from his mouth. Burning coals flamed forth from him. The metaphors, the visions that come to one reading these terms, how powerful. The 10th verse. Vayet shamayim vayered vayerad varafel tachat raglav. He tipped the heavens and descended to intervene in earthly events, but men did not see him, for clouds of darkness swirled beneath his feet. If you apply your Kabbalistic code words, what is darkness? It's a desire to receive. So when he came down to intervene in the events of men, he was concealed in clouds of darkness, meaning our desire to receive clouds our vision of truth. Maybe this is true, maybe it's not. It depends on the circumstances. But those same words that we've just read can be seen as that. The 11th verse. Vayir kaval kiru vaya of vayeda vayede al kanpe ruach. He rode upon a cherub and flew. He sailed on the wings of the wind. But it could also be he sailed on the wings of the emotions, or he sailed on the wings of the soul, because ruach means both wind and soul. The 12th verse. Yashed hoshech sitro sevivotav sukato cheshkat ma'im aveshachin. He made darkness his hiding place, as a curtain between heaven and earth, to mask himself from man. And yet his canopy is constantly spread out over those who gather around him. For the darkness that surrounds him is like the darkness of thick rain clouds, ready to give forth a blessing to the earth. This reinforces the idea of the darkness surrounding him. The darkness under his feet is a desire to receive. Thirteenth verse. Mino ga negdo avavavru barad v'gachale esh. From a faint flicker of the brightness that radiates from before him, dark clouds of hopelessness are dispersed and pass away, together with all hardship, hailstones and fiery coals. Seven words that connect to the lower sephirot, the physical world. The 14th verse.
Vayarem Bashamayim Adonai Ohewahe Ve'elyon Yiten Kolo Barad V'gachale Esh. It is Hashem thundering in the heavens. The Most High makes his voice heard in hailstones and coals of fire. Nine words connecting to the Sefirah of Yesod, of creation.
one of the spiritual laws is that before something can be created, something must be destroyed. I really should rephrase that to say, before something can be formed, something must be destroyed. Because in our world, ever since the creation of the desire to receive, which is in essence life, before the creation of the desire to receive, everything after that point in the timeline of history, everything after that is formation and not creation. The 16th verse. Vayishlach Yitzchak vayafitem uvrakim rav vayichu mimem. He sends his arrows forth, dispersing them to the ends of the earth. These are the powerful events that rock the world like countless bolts of lightning in quick succession, causing great confusion. One aspect of a wake-up call is confusion. You don't know what it means. You start to question. You start to ponder. You start to think. The 17th verse, excuse me. We're changing frames again, going back to the second person, which is you, as in I-U-We. We, you all, them. I'm sorry, it's I, you, he, or he or she, or it, and then it's we, you all, and they, or them. Vayirau afike ma'im vayigalu. Most O Tevel Migaratcha Adonai Ohewahe Minishmat Ruach Apecha. The depths of the water were revealed when the waters of the Red Sea were split, exposing the foundations of the earth, the fundamental laws that underlie the physical world. At the sound of your rebuke, Hashem, the revelation of your mastery over the world that resounds to the ends of the earth, from the subtle breath of your nostrils that hints to your constant supervision of the world. This is a basic premise of Judaism. Not only is Hashem everywhere and every when, Hashem is in control of the world and is constantly supervising the world. Now we go back to the third person, verse 17. Yishlach bimarom yikacheni yam sheni mimayim. He stretches forth his hand from above and picks me up when I have fallen. Whenever I lose all hope and am about to drown in my troubles, he pulls me out of them as from turbulent waters. Again, we have six words representing Zeranpin, representing heaven, representing the spiritual world. There are 27 letters representing the 27 letters of the Hebrew alphabet when we include the final forms of the final letters, the Sofit letters. The 18th verse. Yatzileni me'ovi az misnei ki amtsu mimeni. He rescued me from my foes, however strong they might be, and from those who hate me, when they were more powerful than me. Remember the introduction section where it talks in terms of this verse being a recounting all the different miracles. What is the most important miracle to each individual human? When people are stronger than you, more power, more wealth, more whatever, and they utilize that tool to harm you, always remember it is Hashem who's sending them to harm you as a form of cleansing or as a form of wake up to change. But the real issue is for us to realize that even the attack is a miracle and needs to be praised. Even the attack has to be recounted when you recount the miracles from the beginning of time, the beginning of the physical world's creation.
Anak? I have a question. Why, you know, when you were talking about the earthquakes and the tremors and the tsunamis, why is it that many people don't see that as a cleansing process or as a sign that we need to change?
Ruby, it's a question you already know the answer to. But like all of us, we don't think all the time. The answer to the question is Satan. The answer to the question is, on a physical level, is you don't remember. You don't remember. You see the event separate from the Bible. You see the event separate from you when you hear the news of it happening. Because true hatred, hatred for no reason, is the unconscious reactive thought to hearing about a tsunami or an earthquake or a fire, a forest fire, or any form of destruction. That unconscious thought is better them than me. And as long as that thought is the human reactive thought, we will see things separated rather than a message to me. When you hear about a tsunami, God is sending a message to you. Oh, but that tsunami is all the way across the world. Recently, there was a tsunami warning on the west coast of the United States.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't remember ever hearing that phraseology before. I'm sure
me
it was.
Either.
They didn't just set it up. But I'd never heard that warning before. But what is the message to me about that comes from that warning? Why am I hearing it today? What is the message? But the human reaction to hearing that warning is, I hope it doesn't happen. The human reaction is, let it happen to someone else, God forbid. We see the world separated. And that's the reason that people don't remember that the tsunami warning is a wake-up call, that the earthquake is a wake-up call. What's the purpose of the wake-up call? To wake up and change. To be better today than you were yesterday. How many of us wake up with that thought? How many of us go to sleep with that thought? Thank you for the question, Ruby. It's an excellent one.
You're welcome.
The 19th verse. Yikad muni b'yom eidi v'yehi Adonai. I believe the verse continues. Lemi shan li. When they came forward to confront me on the day of my calamity, Hashem was a support for me. In America, we are taught a concept, don't kick someone when they're down. But in most of the world, that is not a virtue. It's not a value that is espoused. Why shouldn't we kick someone when they're down? Why shouldn't we put an end to our enemy? It's not a rhetorical question. Why shouldn't we put an end to our enemy? Because it's not our enemy. It's a message from Hashem. It's a message from Hashem to wake us up, to get us to change, to motivate differences in our actions. The 20th pasuk. V'yotzieni la'merchav yechaltzeini ki chafetz bi. He brought me forth into expansion. He set me free because he delighted in me. So it's beautiful thoughts. Were you created from the concept of expanding? Were you brought into the world to expand something in the world? Why did he create you? Because he wants to share his beneficence with you. He wants to see you appreciate and experience the pleasures he has created specifically for you. Are you that important? Are we, each one of us, that significant in the eyes of Hashem? Of course you are. Isn't each one of your children significant to you? The 21st pasuk. Big Beleni Adonai Yohe Wahe Ketzid Ki Kivor Yadai Yashiv Li. May Hashem bestow his loving kindness upon me according to my righteous deeds, even in this world. May he also recompense me according to the purity of my hands in the world that is coming. Why is that added in the world that is coming? According to the purity of my hands, because in this world, none of our hands are pure. So Rabbi Sutton adds this phrase the 22nd pasuk. Ki shamarti darkei Adonai Yohe Wahe Velo Rashati Me Elohai. For I have kept Hashem's ways and not become entangled in wickedness to the extent of distancing myself from my Hashem. Negativity distances us from God. Our ego distances us from God. Therefore, negativity is evil. Therefore, ego is evil. But how proud we are of our egos. Chas v'shalom. 23rd pasuk. Ki kol mishpatav l'negdi v'chukotav lo asir meni. For the necessity of keeping all of his ethical laws, governing relations before man and his fellow, is before me at all times. I will never remove the yoke of his statutes, governing my obligations to him from myself. This whole concept of yoke is a very misunderstood term. The sages talk about the yoke of Torah. We misunderstand that in this modern world because we are far from the farm animals that get yoked. You harness a horse, you yoke an oxen. The yoke is a tool that sets you free. This is the way the oxen looks at the yoke. It's of something that gives him pleasure. If we lived on farms, we would know that, we would see that, we would experience that. But in our Western world, the concept of a yoke is a restraint. not a release. The 22nd pasuk. I'm sorry, we read that. The 23rd pasuk. Ki kol mishpatav v'negdi v'hukotav lo asir meni. For the necessity of keeping all of his ethical laws governing relations before man and his fellow is before me at all times. I will never remove the yoke of his statutes governing my obligations to him from myself. Obviously, I have read that before. The 24th pasuk. Ve'ehi tamim imo v'yeshtamer me'avoni. I will maintain complete integrity with him, no matter what befalls me, and guard myself from sins that I might otherwise easily rationalize. Five words representing the five worlds. When we sin, we affect all five worlds. Never justify a sin. Never rationalize a sin. Recognize I made a sin. It is a mistake. I didn't mean to, or if I did mean to, it's part of the confusion of being in this physical world with a lack of clarity. It's my responsibility, but it's not my fault. Contemplate that statement. The 25th pasuk. Vayashav Adonai Yohewahe Li Kitzid Ki Kivor Yadai Laneged Einav. For Hashem has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the purity of my actions in his eyes. For only he judges with complete impartiality. That's a statement that should be taken to heart. Everyone has an agenda. Everyone is seeing, perceiving the world through that agenda, the lens of that agenda. Do you know your own agenda? Do you recognize it when you evaluate others with it? There's much to contemplate in that concept. I'm going to stop here. It's about halfway through, which would indicate that tomorrow we would finish the other half, but would not be able to read the 51 verses together. So we can see that we will be studying this psalm for another 2 days, at least. Does anyone have any questions? At 4:30 West Coast time tonight, we will have a deeper Zohar class on the Parasha of Noach. And at 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class on the Parasha of Beshalach. Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., we will continue working and learning about Psalm 51. With no other questions, I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom. A beautiful day, and hope to see you both tonight and tomorrow on the conference call. Shabbat shalom to all. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you. Thank you. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom to all.